Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 21 in our teaching on the life of Daniel titled, A Glimpse of the Dark Side. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Think there's something on that. Man, I wish there was something on me, don't you? Amen. Mercy, I felt every bit of that. I might need to get something for my throat here. Well, Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for the power of your Spirit, the opportunity we have to be with you and your people. And Lord, we just thank you that we have so much to look forward to. If we could only see what you see, it really and truly would. I'm sure we couldn't contain it, and we'd just act like a bunch of idiots, I'm sure. But Lord, if you let us be just a little bit of one, that'll be all right too. Just show us a little bit. Unveil. Let us see your heart, your ways. Lord, it's total proof that man's ways do not last forever because they're always passing. But we're always living into your permanent a reality of the future. So help us to see us. Help us to walk in it. Help us to be sober. And above all, oh God, don't give us over to our own thinking. In Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel chapter 10. Incredible chapter of Daniel chapter 10 as we continue on here. In this life of Daniel. Daniel, just bless his heart, he gets jerked around a lot in Daniel 10. He goes from proclaiming to interpreting to having these visions that just wipe him out. And I heard one guy tell me that he was in the armed services and he was in Vietnam, but he never talked about it. And the only reason I took note to it because my father was in World War II and he never talked about it. And the one thing he said was, you could tell somebody that was really in the battle because they just won't talk about it. Those that talk about it a lot, they didn't see much. But those that saw a lot just didn't talk about it much. And you know, I see this in Daniel as we get into chapter 10. You can tell that Daniel really saw some things. He really saw some vision. The heavens were opened up to Daniel, and he saw a lot that was going on. And so as we get into chapter 10, we can see that how it affected him. When he truly had an encounter with the spiritual world, how did it affect Daniel? And so we have to ask ourselves the question, so how do we come to church, you know, week after week after week, but yet we're not affected? Why is it not affecting me? Why is it not affecting you? So we have to ask ourselves these questions, and the truth is, we're really not encountering what we're talking about. It's just that plain, it's that simple. Now, I don't know what else to do but to talk about it till I do. You know, I can't make that an encounter happen with the Spirit of God. And so what we do is talk about it till we do. But we can be in a different mindset of talking about it and anticipating that we will and hoping we don't. You know, the religious spirit takes on the stand that, well, I'm here and I hear it, but I don't really want to. But someone that's desperate wants to encounter a visitation of the presence of God to change our thinking. And dear God, please do that. Now, Daniel 10, let's look at it. And I'm going to move pretty quickly here this morning, is my intention. We'll see what happens. Chapter 10, you can see it says, a glimpse into the dark side. That's what happens with 10. We see Daniel. You know the first nine chapters there. Get into 10. We see that it's a glimpse into the dark side. So Daniel's fixing to have a vision. He's going to see some things that he hadn't seen. There is the chronological order. I got that in your notes so you'll understand that the chapters are not in chronological order. Actually, when he had this vision, it would have been in the time right after he escaped the lion's den. Now, I want to give you just a little example here before we get into 10 of another situation like Daniel chapter 10. It's in 2 Kings. 6, verses 8 through 18. Now, this was a glimpse into the unseen world of warfare. It would be, I was talking with a couple last night on the phone, and they were saying, well, Alan, I just don't understand this lady. We saw her, she fell out of a bus, hit her head, she was dying. Precious lady. We jumped off and prayed for her. EMS came, picked her up and took her to the hospital. He said, I'm sure she was dying. He said, I just don't understand, why does God not answer our prayers? You know, we see all this stuff happening. And of course, my response to him was, you don't know that your prayer didn't change something. One thing's for sure, I said, you being there at that precise time was not an accident. Now, perhaps her falling, hitting her head was an accident, but you being there wasn't an accident. And so your prayer has more to do with what's going on than what you think. And so as we see this vision, and even here in 2 Kings, you remember Elijah and Elisha? You remember Elisha, he's kind of a greedy little prophet. He wanted everything Elijah had, except he wanted a double portion. And so I'm going to give you a little example here in 2 Kings of the same thing that happened there to get you in the mindset of what happened with Daniel. As we read through the Bible, we come across some of the battles that have been or being fought in the heavenlies. An interesting example is found in 2 Kings chapter 6. And my point with that couple last night was, I said, you know, I'm sorry, we're just in a time of warfare. I don't want to be. I wish I could say that I could give you a gospel that everything's in the sweet by and by and everything's great and everything's going to get better. And I still have a hope for that, but it's not now. I mean, when I look around, I'm sorry, that's just not what I see. There's tremendous warfare going on. I can be in denial and say, well, that's not really happening. I can try to be more positive about it. And the only thing I'm positive about is we're in warfare. This is really here. And so we can't leave that mindset, and Daniel tells us that that's the way it is. Well, here's what happened in 2 Kings with Elijah and Elisha. And it says this, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servant, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware, thou hast passed not such a place, for hither the Syrians are coming down. Here's what was going on here. You have the prophet Elijah telling the king of Israel the plans of the enemy. That'd be a pretty good prophet, wouldn't you say? Here you got your enemy and you've got your own personal prophet that you can just sit back at camp. He'll send you word, here's where they are, don't go here, don't go there. And so you could call Elijah a true seer. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such place, for the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, which is Elijah, and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. In other words, the king of Syria got sort of ticked off here that for some reason he just couldn't figure out how in the world does the king of Israel know every move I'm making. And he kind of gets a little ticked about it. And for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So what the king was saying there, we've got a mole in our camp. Somebody's running to the king of Israel, telling him all of our moves, and he said, I want to know who it is. Now, what happened, the king was looking for Elijah. Now, as we move on into this next verse, the king asked, who's giving away my secrets? Who was in our camp? Then he finds out, and he said, go and spy where he is. The king finds out, once somebody speaks up, says, hey, king of Israel's got this prophet, and this prophet's telling him. And then he tells him, he said, okay, go spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dotham. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night. So here the king of Syria sent this great army in to pick up one little prophet, Elijah. And so he sends his huge army in, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen up early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, the servant being there, Elisha, he is saying to Elijah, hey, he wakes up early in the morning and says, oh my, you need to look at, come out here and look. This huge army is out here and they have come after us. He says, alas, my master, how shall we do? He says, what do we need to do here? And he answered, fear not. Now that sounds like something Elijah would say, doesn't it? And here you got this big army and he says, cool it, Elisha. He says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with them. So here, you know, for sure the servant thought Elijah was trying to be a little spiritual here. You know, fear not, you know, God's with us, who can be against us, you know, and all this sort of stuff. Well, it didn't tend to soothe Elisha too good because he saw this big army out there. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. So what he was saying was, Lord, he doesn't really believe me here. Would you just open his eyes? Would you pull back the heavens that he can see what I see? Is what he was saying. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. So what happened was Elijah was seeing all the time something that everybody else could not see. Now the truth is what Elijah and everybody couldn't see was more real than what you could see. Because what you can see, if you look at the human eye, the way we work, I can't see and take on but one thing at a time. Now, you might think you can do more than that, but you really can't. You see and hear, you're kind of limited. But when we see in the Spirit, you can see more things in the Spirit at once than you can in the natural. Okay? So what happens is the heavens were opened up and he looked and so that he might see. And behold, the mountain was full of horses, chariots, and fire round about Elijah. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots. And so when he saw what Elijah saw, you know, he saw this big heavenly host. Here you got the army down below. But Elijah said, hey, Elisha, don't fear not, because you just need to see who's with me. You see? And that didn't soothe Elijah too much. And so Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes, open up the heavens, roll them back, that he can really see what's going on. So that tells us there's more going on than we can see. Right? So just because you can see something doesn't mean you can see everything. You can see what you can see, but you can't see what you can't see. And trust me, there's more that you can't see than you can see. And you have to ask God to give you eyes to see, so you can see what you can't see. So that's what happened with Daniel here in chapter 10. I want to give you that little example. It's the same thing. The spiritual world is it's unveiled and things are going on out here. Now I'm going to go through Daniel 10. It's a kind of a short chapter here, right quickly, and because I want to get to the end a little more than I do the beginning. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. Then he understood the things and had understanding of the vision. Now, a term used 25 times in Daniel and 45 times in Revelation, emphasizing the subject matter of both books. Now, what is that word? It's a thing. Now, a thing here is a big thing. It's a big deal. He had this vision. He was going to give him a revelation of a thing. So the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was what? What was revealed. So it's a big deal in Scripture to have a thing revealed to you. Are you with me? You say, well, Alan, why are you making a thing out of this? You'll see why. It's a big deal in king of Persia. A thing was revealed unto Daniel. So we don't know what it is yet. We just know it's a thing. Whose name was called Belshazzar, and the what? And the thing was what? And the thing was true. So we know that it gets a thing, and we know that the thing is true. Now, you got to understand how this word truth works here. Truth is not really truth to you until your actions equal your definition. That I just told you the truth, right? You can know truth, but it's not really true to you until your actions become the definition of the truth in which you know. Are you with me? So that's what All right, let me move on. But the time appointed was long, and he understood what? The thing. There's the thing again. And had understanding of the vision. So we know that these words are coming, and it's the thing. Now, chapter 10 is a vision, and it starts explaining to us the last two chapters. You have to have 10 to get 11 and 12. But the only thing we know right now, it's a thing. There's a man in this church who uses this term a lot, DeBar. Anybody know who I'm talking about? I'm not calling names, but he's sitting back here and he does airplane stuff. So right back there, he talks about DeBar all the time, you know. Well, that's what that word is there. From the Hebrew word DeBar, a word, it's implication in a matter, spoken, a thing, verbal, a cause. That's what the prophetic is. It's a DeBar. It's a thing. That's what it is. And if Ray ever comes up to you and says, it's just this thing, you're like, he'll say, DeBar. You're like, okay, DeBar. So I thought I'd throw this in a little bit there, Mr. Ray, just to help everybody understand you a little bit. Okay, that's what that thing is right there. It's a DeBar. It's a word of prophecy. It's a thing. It's in the now moment, and it's being spoken. And that's what happened to Daniel. In those days, Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks. He says 21 days. Now he puts in the terminology of full weeks. 3 full weeks. This is a long time for a man to be in fasting. So we got to understand Daniel's fasting here for 3 full weeks, fasting, prayer, and constant emotional strain. So you got to understand Daniel's probably in his 90s here, and he's still trying to push through. You know, when's Israel going to, you know, we've been in captivity all this time. And not only that, they've been set free, and most of them didn't even go back to Jerusalem. They just stayed there. And so Daniel's totally in anguish and prayer and constant emotional strain. This seems to be emphasizing by Daniel by adding full. He said, listen, I did a full 21-day fast. I think that's pretty impressive. He said, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. This fast was rather a gentle abstinence, living on coarse food, drinking nothing but water, not taking a bath. I mean, he's pretty serious here. And most probably wearing a hair cloth. That's what you remember with John the Baptist. All they turn hair cloth, turn it in so you would not be comfortable. You know. And most probably wearing hair cloth next to the skin during the whole time. So what this shows us that Daniel was into a serious fast here. He said, okay, God, I'm getting old. I'm 90. Come on, God. I've got to have something. Now, you got to be careful when you ask God something. I made the fatal mistake of one time. This is the true story. I said, all right, God. I didn't used to be one that would talk too much about God healing. I believed God healed, but I didn't promote it. You know, if you're sick, I'd pray for you, but this wasn't a big issue with me. And so I said, listen, God, I will promote you healing people if you'll give me a front row seat and let me see somebody healed of cancer. You know. I just put it right on out there to God. Well, less than 6 months, I was diagnosed with cancer. Now, my mistake was I need to have a better definition of front row. I should have said second row seat. See, God does listen to the details. Front row was too close. Now, you say, well, Alan, that sounds like it's a little unbelievable. It was to me also. I'm like, you kind of be kidding me. I mean, God, why do you answer that one so quick and all this other stuff? It's like I can't get you to move. But that one, so I guess that one was, don't you know he was laughing? I was sweating bullets. But I don't do that anymore, if anybody wants to know. You got to be careful with these things. Okay. Now, so in Daniel 10:3, the cause of Daniel's mourning is not told us, but we can speculate. It was the 3rd year of Cyrus' reign. And in his first reign, he had made a decree to permanent Israel to return to her land. So I put this basically there for your notes. You can read it. It's what I just said. We don't know why he was in such a strain other than we know Israel wasn't going back to Jerusalem to build the temple. You got Ezra to build the wall, which is Nehemiah. And so you read that in your notes. Now, Daniel 10:4. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekah. Now, the first month there is Nisan. He completes his fasting we see, and in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, we see that he completed his fasting around there, around the 24th. Then I lifted up mine eyes, and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Judea's. So what happened here, he lifts up his eyes, he looks, and behold, a certain man. There's this man, he comes in. Some scholars say, well, they think that it was Christ. Some say it was an angel. I tend to go with the angel, because you'll see as you get over in Daniel 10, there's a place there that he says that he was in a wrestling match and he had to call on Michael, the angel, to come help him fight. So I just can't imagine Jesus needing an angel. Nowhere do we see Jesus needing that help. We know Gabriel needed some help a time or two, so I would say it's a pretty good chance it's that. Now, in Daniel 10:6, his body was like the beryl in the face of an appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like colored to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, here, this verse here is why some people think, well, that was probably Jesus coming to Daniel in a vision. There's another place where it's been interpreted that an angel first comes, and then the second, you can almost take one verse there and say, well, the second part of Daniel 6 was, the first part was Jesus and the second part was an angel. I guess you could do that, but nonetheless, I'll just give you that. It's different interpretations. The man seen by Daniel was a heavenly being. That we know. So let's go with what we know. He was a heavenly being. Daniel caught a glimpse of the battle between the good and evil supernatural power. So as this thing was unveiling and pulling back, he starts seeing this heavenly being comes in. Daniel 10:7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Now, I want you to look at this one. It says, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. So, he was having a vision. Everybody else didn't see it, but they said there was a quaking or a shaking. I'm not sure if that's the earth or if it was just Daniel. I don't really know. But anyway, it scared the bejeebies out of them, and they ran. Okay, so when you have a true visitation of a spirit or a vision or God, I mean, trust me, if it's a real one, you're going to say, oh, glory, hallelujah. No, you're probably going to fall on your face or run when the real deal, what we're getting is kind of what we call mercy drops or just little good stuff here and there, which I think is great. This shows that one person can see a vision while others cannot, even though they are present. So if you've ever wondered about somebody having a true vision and you can't see it, I can't see it, so I don't know it's true or not. Well, basically that's the way it usually happens with a prophet. He can see it. There's another time that this happened in Scriptures. Anybody remember? On the road to Damascus. It's in Acts 9. An exactly parallel case where this occurred at the conversion of Saul or Paul in Acts 9:7. There was a divine influence which they all felt and heard. But only Paul saw the appearance. Now, if somebody comes up and gives a testimony, you can tell that their testimony is about an encounter with the Spirit of God. You can tell when it's a true one or if it's one that doesn't have a strong impact. Some people and when they're saying it, it shapes you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You can, in other words, that's what it's talking about. The presence was there in the way it wasn't happening to you, but it shook you. Right? That's the comparison here. That's what happens, Acts 9. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, as it was with Paul. But seeing no man, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Here, same thing happened to Paul. Those around heard and saw or whatever. So as we're together, the first thing that happens, what the enemy, the way he wants to kill the revival spirit is for us all to be critical at what's happening. So you don't have to be critical. You can be a little scared, a little uncomfortable. It's not a deal. But you don't have to be what we're saying is critical. You need to understand there could be something happening to that person. It's not you. Because of our pride, we're a little offended. Well, if God's going to move, he's going to use me. Well, not necessarily. So, let's go on to verse 8. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. So, here Daniel had a true vision, And you got to understand, the content of the vision overwhelmed him. That's what made him weak. The content of the supernatural encounter that he was having just made him... What makes you that way? You are convinced what you're seeing is true. Right? So emotionally he felt something. Now, I'm convinced that the world in which we're living in today, I'm convinced is probably, it's in pretty bad shape. Now, you can say, well, for a few people, some people it's not, but for a lot of people it is. And for the most part, those that you think it's not, they are too. So it's a pretty hard place on the planet that we're living right now. If we truly had a true revelation of what's going on, it'd probably make us feel kind of sad and weak and all of that sort of stuff. That's what was happening to him, because he was seeing what was going to happen to Israel actually in the tribulation period. Now, yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words then, was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face towards the ground. So he heard it. He fell, face in the ground. It says that he fell into a deep sleep on my face. It gives you the idea he was just flush. He was just totally overwhelmed. The one thing the men with Daniel certainly observed was his response to the vision. Daniel's face lost all its color, and he fell to the ground without strength. So that, I would say that's, I think you could say Daniel was a drama queen, I guess. But Daniel's in a lot of drama here. He is feeling what is happening. Now, in the prophetic, in this day and hour, the enemy is trying to get God's people not to feel. He's trying to get you to die to your feelings. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. He's trying to get you not to feel, because to feel is part of hearing prophetically. You can say, well, I've been hurt here and I've been disappointed here. And what happens psychologically, you just start shutting down. Everything you feel, everything you are. But you got to understand, if you couldn't feel when you put your hand on a stove, that feeling of that heat tells you to pull your hand off, right? If you didn't, you just burn your hand up. You wouldn't even know it. Same way in the spirit, you got to have your feelings. If they're going dead, say, God, I supernaturally need to be healed here where I can feel. Daniel was totally in touch with his feeling. So therefore, he appeared to be dramatic. Right? Now, keep that in mind. Daniel 10:10, and behold, a hand touched me which was set upon my knees, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So here we see this angel that touches him. He's in his face and he comes up to his knees. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. And for unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, he did what? He stood up, but he was trembling. Here's big Daniel. He's the big guy in the lion's den. He's not afraid of anything until this angel comes up. He's shaking. And the reason he's shaking there again is because he's seeing what's to come. He's hearing it and he's seeing that thing. Ever what the thing is. Verse 12, and said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from this day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy works were heard, and I am come for your words. So here we see 21 days, Daniel is out there. He's in sackcloth, ashes, praying, not eating, going through this huge fast for 21 days. Now, it says, thy words were heard, and I'm coming for thy words. So whatever he's praying, this angel's coming to give him definition for his words. Is everybody with me? Now, those words, here's an example of prayer being delayed. He was in prayer for 21 days. But you got to understand, something happened. Verse 13, but the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 1 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Now, the king of Persia is, here, if you roll back the scroll, there was a demonic general the spirit behind the king of Persia. Well, as Daniel was living in the reality of the king of Persia, there was a war going on behind the scenes that this angel, probably Gabriel, and he wasn't known for his fighting. Gabriel, for 21, listen, you got to understand, this demonic spirit was trying to keep the angel from going to Daniel for 21 days. So what was happening was, the information he was to carry was pretty big. Pretty huge information here. So, what if Daniel would quit his fast on the 20th day? What if you feel the urge to quit praying, what if you're on the 20th day? His prayers is what got the angel through. Right? What if Daniel had quit a day early? That's sad, isn't it? You got to understand what the praying does. Trust me, I'm going to try to show you today. Wow, it's 10:05. I might use your coffee time. Now listen. You can't stop short of your prayer. Daniel's was delayed for 21 days. He was fasting and praying, crying out to God, not realizing the benefits of him crying out to God. God was using his desperate crying out to him to use that prayer to get the angel to get the word to him. Everybody got it. Say, Alan, I got it. Okay, so we keep praying. That's what we do. Until the angel brings us the word. That's what we do. Now, everybody got that. Now here it says Michael, one of the chief princesses. So you start seeing in the prophetic and in Scripture that head angels are called princesses, and it's like a general. So it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was stood before 120 days. How many days is that? 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So here we see that. Now, I'm thinking it's probably Gabriel, but anyway, if Gabriel was fighting this general of the heavenly host, he had to call on Michael, which is an archangel, say, I've got to have some help here. Michael comes in. He's kind of a warrior angel anyway. He takes care of the deal on the 21st day, right? He wraps it right on up. Now, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, this is a satanic prince or ruler of the kingdom of Persia, one ruling the kingdom of Persia for Satan, who is recognized in the Scripture as being the God and ruler of the world at that time. That's what was happening. Overall, now watch this one, the governments of this world, Satan has his trusted angels who are responsible to him for carrying out his will in those governments. When you see ISIS and you see all of this stuff, you got to understand something. That's not God. But behind these governments are rulers that have been assigned by Satan to carry those things out. Now, so here we see that Michael comes in. Now, let's look at verse 14. Now, in the light of 14, the world of the demonic is exceedingly active in the Gentile world governments. That's what was happening in Daniel. You remember the statue? This is still about the statue in Rome and Greece and all of that. So what this shows us in chapter 10 is there's a spirit behind those world governments. Has that changed? No. Now, the spirits can change behind the world governments. At one time, I think, behind the United States of America, we had a good angel. Now, I'm wondering. Okay. The prince of the kingdom of Persia refers to a spirit whose assignment purpose was to frustrate the purposes of God in the lives of the rulers. The powers of darkness work through the rulers of this world. Satan, the prince of this world, is the power behind the world governments and system in rebellion against God. There's constant warfare in the spiritual world over the control of people's lives. Through prayer, watch it, we're able to bind the works and power of the enemy into battle for God's side. Now, any time you feel the urge to minimize prayer, it didn't come from God. You never have to test that one. God, am I to pray? You don't have to test it. You already know the answer. You're to pray. Why? It's because you're changing. You're praying against this battle that's going. Prayers are what, for some reason, prayer is what energizes the angels. And I proved it to you. I don't understand why. But something about our prayer energizes the angels, which are in a battle of warfare. Just the way it is. You can affect Christians being martyred in Iraq. I often wonder, a lot of the beheadings, is it because of the lack of prayer? We need to pray against that. Is everybody catching what I'm saying here? Now, let me move on. Daniel 14. Now I am come to make the understanding what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. So here you see Daniel seeing what's going to happen to the people. And remember, we're between week 69 and 70. Daniel's looking for week 70. Then he has his vision of what it is. It starts coming upon him. The people here are the Jews. The latter days is preceding the coming of the Messiah. There are many things which remain yet to be revealed. Now, in verse 15, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground, and I became what? I mean, Daniel is getting wiped out by this vision. He's standing, he's laying down, touches him, he stands up to his knees, then he stands up, and then, bam, down again he goes. You see, this vision is wearing him out. And he says he fell because he's dumb and became dumb. He found himself unable to speak. He is completely overwhelmed by what he's seeing. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth. So now he was dumb, but then this angel came. He touched his lips. He opened his mouth and he spoke and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me and I have retained no strength. So he couldn't speak. He was so underwhelmed. He touched his mouth. He says, you just don't understand. What I saw is so overwhelming to me. Now, if you want to know what he saw, you look at chapters 4 through 20 in the book of Revelation, if anybody's ever interested. And he says, he touched my lips. Before this, he was unable to speak. The vision gave him revelation of the tribulation to come. Now, Daniel, verse 17, and how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord, for as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. He could not breathe freely. He was almost suffocated with sorrow. The presence of the angel and his word spoke to Daniel, rendered Daniel so awestruck, he is speechless. And that was the angel. Then there came again a touch to me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. This is the third touch. Daniel chapter 10, is verses 10, 16, and 18. Daniel was frightened by this vision, but the messenger reassured him. Daniel lost his speech, but the messenger touched to restore it. Daniel felt weak and helpless, but the messenger's words strengthened him. So you got to understand, even though what you're seeing is going to overtake you, God is going to restore you every time. So what you're going through is overtaking you. God's going to restore you. You say, Alan, God, this is more than I can handle. It's all right. God's going to do what God does. He's going to touch you. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Now, he said, the Lord is strengthening him, but he's telling him to be strong. So here's what's happening here. If you have something to contribute in your weakness. To be strong is a choice. Listen, when you were born again, it was a choice. Now, heaven is the result of a good choice. If you'll choose to be strong, God will strengthen you. Did you get it? Being strong is a choice. You say, well, Alan, see, we're convinced I don't have enough strength to be strong. That is true. But if you'll choose to be strong, God will strengthen you. And you'll be strong. Out of the power of God. I'd rather be strong out of God's power than my own. Right? So that's what was going on here with him. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So this is the spiritual battle, this big battle. When I leave you, I will have another fight with the prince of Persia. This is the satanic ruler of Persia. This is simply the continuation of the war when the scroll was folded back that he could see. But I will show thee that which is noted in Scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. So he's saying it's just us, and we're having to fight this battle. Let's see. Take me to... Now, this is, you can see this for your notes. Take me to the fourth slide from the end. Count back four slides. It should be, I think. Yes, thank you. Now, let me go there. Now, so we see this huge battle's taking place. I got those slides in the middle are just some notes on angels that when you get the notes next week, it'll take you on into who Satan was, these angels are. And I've got the scripture there with you so you can look at that. Now, Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. Now, the scrolls were back. He saw Daniel so saw the reality of what we can't see that it was overwhelming to him. He was just overwhelming. The reality that you find yourself in today can be overwhelming. My word to you is if you'll choose to be strong, God will strengthen you. Because it's in your weakness that He is made strong, right? Ephesians 6, you can understand Paul. He understands his revelation. Paul had been called up. When Paul went up through the third heaven, he had to go through the second heaven. Second heaven is where all of this is taking place. And so therefore Paul says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now keep this in mind, Paul understands these things. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of what? Of righteousness. Now, that's your loins girded with truth is where I give you the idea that truth is not truth until your actions equal that truth, then it becomes true to you. Right? Truth known, truth acted upon is when truth becomes truth. Now, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet will be shod to preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall stand to quench all the what? Fiery darts of the what? Of the wicked. The fiery darts there, it says, is trafficking communications. That's what the darts of the enemy is, trafficking communications. That's the reason our words can be empowered by the Holy Spirit, or they can be darts of the enemy. When I pray for people, a lot of times just say, Lord, just pull that dart or that dagger out of their heart. That's what our words do. If you want to know what that's talking about, it's talking about your speaking, how you talk. Are you talking for the wicked or are you talking for God? That's what that is there. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, it's amazing to me. The helmet of salvation, you can have this helmet of salvation, not put it on. Carried around, you know, motorcycle rider with it under his arm, he has a wreck, doesn't he? You can tell somebody doesn't have a helmet on, they got a lot of bandages. Right? Okay. So you got to put your helmet on of salvation, you got to know who you are. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right? Now, the sword of a Roman soldier, which what he was comparing it to there, they were the first ones that came out with a two-edged sword. Most of them up until that time was a one-sided sword. They came up with a two-sided sword, but it took two hands to do it. So they had to go through school for up to 2, 3, and 4 years just to learn how to do that two-edged sword. Which the reason he was using that is to give us an implication. This is our sword, which is work. But you got to know, you got to study it. You got to practice so you know how to swing that thing. You just don't get it and go to swinging. It's heavier than you are, was what the problem with the Roman sword was. It's a very heavy instrument. So the Word of God's here. It takes practice. That's what he's saying there. It says, praying always with prayer and supplication how? Now, you've got to understand, the greatest part of this artillery here is what? Is praying in the Spirit. The biggest part, which most people believe it all, The biggest part of the armor of God is your prayer. That's right there at the end. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. So the praying, which is usually left off, is the last part of your armor. If you lay down prayer, you're laying down the big gun. Anybody got to catch that? Now, Satan has organization and all of that. You can read that in the heavenlies. Now, I want you to consider this. I'm going to close. Suppose Daniel had stopped fasting after only 20 days and prayed. Is there a prince in the power over the United States? Yes. Could there be a one over the UN? I'd say yes. Now, of the EU, time will tell. Kind of looking like it. Time will tell, if there's a prince in the power over that thing. Now, I want you to consider this. Each of us has a choice to make in this life. We may choose to suffer now in the light of the glory to come, or we may pursue the pleasures of this world and face the dreaded reality of God's eternal wrath. Which is your choice? If you have chosen to follow Christ, you will find great joy, even, I underline this, in the midst of the sorrow and tribulation which follow Him brings. Now, a lot of people say, well, Alan, where's the prosperity gospel? I'm not a prosperity gospel. I'm prosperity in that you'll have great joy. But if you're truly following Christ, I'm just going to tell you the truth, somebody. You're going to have sorrow and great tribulations because you're following Him. Now, I want you to consider something else. Think about this. We are a participant in the prize in this great battle. Did you get it? We are a participant and a prize at the same time. Anybody feel it? We are likened unto a pawn in a game of chess. I'm not very good at chess, but I understand the game a little bit. The people of God, we're like a pawn, which is the smallest component in a game of chess. Now, it's the only piece that gets a promotion. I could ask some of you great chess players here about this. In the game of chess, the little lowly pawn is the only one that can actually get a promotion. That's who we are. We're a pawn in this great battle, this great chess cosmic chess game. We're a pawn. And let me tell you something else about a pawn. It can only move forward step by step. Doesn't know how to go back. If you find yourself in a situation that you don't know how to quit, it's because you're not designed to do it. You're not a pawn. You don't know how. A pawn, you didn't know how. Another thought. If it endures to the end, it becomes the most powerful piece on the board. If the pawn makes it all the way to the other side, you can turn into a queen or a knight, whatever you're needing. It's the only one in the whole game that's promoted. But it's got to make it all the way to the other side for the promotion. Anybody getting what I'm saying? Daniel 10. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the power of Your Spirit and Your presence. I ask and pray, O God, that all of us as pawns of You, You're the Master. You're moving the pieces as You need to move us in this great battle. Let us be truly submitted to You, the Master of this game, the Master of this warfare. And dear God, You promised us, if we'll endure to that other side, that there's a great promotion. Now, Lord, we know we can be taken out in the meantime, but there's some You're calling to go to the other side. Lord Jesus, we love You. We do ask and pray that Your Holy Spirit would move among us this morning. Power, signs, wonders, salvations, peace, joy. Lord, we do ask and pray that we can encounter You here today. Let Your peace go with us. Let Your joy fill our hearts. And I pray, O God, that we'll all rise up. Does anybody hear me? That we will rise up as Daniels. That we'll rise up as a Daniel We will stand firm. We will recognize that we don't quit your praying on the 20th day. There's angels up there just saying, if they just pray a little more, are they going to quit praying? I can hear their conversation now. Trust me, when this veil is opened up and we can truly see what's going on, we're going to understand. I've got a feeling we're going to be a little sad. But I'm here to say some things today so that you don't have to feel bad about it. Keep doing what you know to do. Keep being moved by God. Now listen, I told you, there's one thing we can't have. We might have sorrow, we might have tribulation, but we can have joy. We can have joy. Nobody can have joy like we can have joy. So Lord Jesus, it's our prayer that your joy will fill our hearts this morning. Lord, I ask and pray if there's anything that I've said is not of you, it'll fall to the ground. But if I've said anything of you, that it would pierce our hearts, that we might continue in the journey, that we might feel the joy. And Lord, give us a little token this morning. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you want to get a coffee or something, go ahead. But I can tell worship has begun. If you want to stay, go out. But it's begun.